a chasm. But this I say, brothers, that moreover the time is short, so that also those who have wives should be as though they had none, and those who weep as though they did not weep, and those who rejoice as though they did not rejoice, and those who buy as though they did not possess, and those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 29-31. Buddhists in Japan have sometimes very particular manners of speech in their religious books, which seem strange to our Western ears. They speak of a gate that is no gate, and of a work that is no work. They say that a gate, by which they want to obtain a better, higher life, is actually no gate. For when Buddha dwells in us, we are basically, already for a long time, connected to him. Then we are included in the unity and combination of God and people, between whom there no longer is a distinction. The fool who does not yet see this unity will make a serious effort to attain to a higher goal. He looks for the gate by which one enters a new way, another life. But the wise does not seek. He no longer makes serious efforts. Exactly the opposite happens to him. He will never make a serious effort again. He does not strive for a goal far away, for his eyes have been opened to the complete, undiscerning unity of people with God. The gate is no gate. The real way is no way, for we have arrived in this seeing. Thus it is also with thinking. We first think that God and people are two, and as long as we think, there are also two, and they are separated from each other. But as soon as man ceases to think and inclines and unites himself to the not thinking anymore, God and people merge into each other. The speaking of a distinction between God and people, between high and low, is then gone forever. Then one knows that the real working is a no more working, that the true passing through a gate is the remaining within the gate, and that the real thinking actually is a no more thinking. Thus the Buddhist wants to be removed from the error of this world, which always chases from the one thing to the other, from what separates and distinguishes the one thing from the other. Someone once called this mentality a chasm. He observed in this a having that is not having, a possessing that is not possessing, thus a farewell to the world, a withdrawing oneself from the cosmos, from the world itself. He correctly said that this acosmism is unchristian. But if it is unchristian, was it then not also unchristian what Paul wrote to the congregation of Corinth? He also gave a commandment that in the end meant having as not having, possessing as not possessing, weeping as not weeping, rejoicing as not rejoicing, dealing as not dealing, being married as being unmarried. Is that perhaps not also a farewell to life? Is this a chasm? No, no, it is not the same. For the Buddhist says, let me give up every effort, every objective, for Buddha and I are one. Thus I am already always in the object, in the goal. He no longer sets a goal for himself up yonder. But Paul means it exactly the other way around. He said, consider well that our goal is higher up. The form of this world will pass away. The system that binds us today and captivates our eyes, that indeed is the system operating this world. That certainty is still valid today. But later it will be destroyed. It will pass by. Thus we do not have to deny this world, but prepare ourselves in it for the other world, and for the labor pains which already announce its approach. Indeed, also these labor pains ask already now for our attention. For there will be a time in which Christ can suddenly call those who believe in him to fight against the Antichrist. then the man who was just married will have to leave his home. Let him count on that. The kingdom of heaven sometimes calls, but causes people to burst here in tears, a cause of laughing before the face of God. And the other way around. Persecution can come, and the man or woman who stands weeping by an open grave will have to quickly dry up the tears and flee to another city. In one's own city, business is disturbed, and the Antichrist forfeits all one's goods. Then one should weep as not weeping, and rejoice as not rejoicing, and walk in the world in such a way as to be able to leave it any day. That is not a chasm, but an opening of the eyes for the entirety of God's work. That other future is also mentioned on his program. And he who today considers the future, and in his being here, the yonder of up there, does not say that the contrasts disappear by the higher light, but maintains instead that they exist. He will not identify God and man as one being, but will distinguish exactly the one from the other. He does not let God merge with the world, but will, in accordance to the word of God, pay attention to all that God has made or will make, as far as is known to him. He does not escape from the world, and neither will exceed above it, and will not sing a song against the world of wanting to leave it. For where in the world can he, here and now, serve God in any other way than in the framework of the present living of today? It would be quite the servant who wants to flee from the workshop or be lifted up above it. Only by working in the world and acknowledging the moment of today as the only time that makes it possible to serve God in our present day living, will we then extend it to all the time and all the space in which God shows himself busy with us by the word. And by placing the entire cosmos, all of the world, under God, we will weep as not weeping, and rejoice as not rejoicing, because we are today prepared for the future by him, who in the past caused us to be born from above, by him, who has loved us.